We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
The morning show, you love that!
I get more nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now!
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a good
one? There you go!
It's the world's most dangerous morning show!
Cut the cameras, I'm out the
f***ing What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show!
The Breakfast Club with DJ Envy,
the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne the God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is The Breakfast Club, bitches!
Yo.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. Oh yeah. Peace to the planet. It's Friday.
Yes, it's Friday.
Forgot what day it was for.
Goodness gracious, it's Friday.
Hey, I've been all over this week.
Me too. But I'm happy. I'm happy it's Friday. I'm happy the weekend is here, and I got a light weekend, so I'm so excited.
Today is a good day, too, because, you know, they have national holidays. I don't know who makes these up, but today is National Laugh and Get Rich Day.
Okay.
And it's actually National No One Eats Alone Day. So to me, that plays into the whole getting rich thing, right? Because you don't want to get rich and eat alone.
There you go.
Everybody eats. All right?
Today is also
no one eats alone.
National Kite Flying Day. When's the last time you flew a kite?
Never.
I can't even remember.
I could never get the kite to stay in the air.
I've done it. It's been years.
Every time I used to try to go out there, it's like I was just dragging something on the ground. I could never get it to fly.
No, great.
Ever.
No. All right. Well, what up, Yee?
What's up, guys? I'm in L.A.
Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Actually, I had to host a dinner. Our table dinners last night honoring Dash. He's a VP of A&R at Interscope Records. He's the one that signed Juice WRLD. Juice WRLD was there also. Just because he's been doing a great job over at Interscope, and they're honoring him before the Grammys, so I was here to host that.
Okay.
And then I went to the Warner Music Group party.
Okay.
All right.
And
Grammy
I haven't
weekend.
Slept.
It's Grammy weekend.
Yes, it's Grammy weekend.
A bunch of people in L.A. acting important for no damn reason.
Absolutely. Now,
I'm coming back today, though.
Oh, you just there for the day?
Yes, I got to go to the Brooklyn Nets game tonight. They're playing the Bulls, and it's Black History Month kickoff at the Barclays.
Okay. All right. Last night, I was, actually, the whole day yesterday, I was in Atlantic City, and last night in Atlantic City. No, I wasn't gambling. There's a lot, after Sandy hit the East Coast, Atlantic City was hit up pretty, pretty bad. And there's a lot of real estate out there that is very, very inexpensive. I'm talking about they range from $5,000 to $100,000. So we went to go just look at a bunch of properties. I mean, it's you know, I'm heavy into the real estate thing now. And if I can pick up some properties for $5,000 and be able to renovate and fix and put people back in those properties, that's you know, new things, new floors, new appliances. So that's what we're going to try to do. So I was out there all night last night. I ran into Shady, who plays for the Bills, Shady McCoy. Also, shout out to all the councilmen, Marty Smalls, and everybody out there. I had a great time in Atlantic City last night. I didn't get back until about an hour ago.
So that's a good thing. You was out there looking for real estate, and today is Laugh and Get Rich Day.
There you go.
That's all. So all you need to do is
I just did a chuckle.
See, a little chuckle at this point. A little chuckle to go with the cash.
All right. Well, this morning, we got some special guests joining us. Aldis Hodge will be joining us.
You may not know who Aldis Hodge is by name, mm-hmm. but he played MC Ren in Straight Outta Compton.
Yes.
And he is in the new Taraji P. Henson movie, What Women Want.
I thought it was What Men Want. Isn't she reading their
what
minds?
Men want? Oh, it's What Men Want.
Oh, there you go.
Yes, the kid's going to be a star.
Absolutely.
Okay, trust me when I tell you.
And also, we got our homie joining us. She's from Philly.
I Heart Mafia.
That's right, Diamond Cuts.
Yes.
She gets busy, DJ out of Philly, radio personality, producer, and a whole lot more. We'll kick it with her a little later.
And I'm looking forward to all of that, but I'm really looking forward to Freaky Freaky Friday, because we've had a lot of talk about my guy Andy from the
Andy,
Fire Festival. Andy is the BJ King.
Right.
And, you know, we want to know what you would do for a Klondike bar this morning.
Okay.
We're going to talk about it, goddammit.
All right. All right. Okay. My goodness. All right. Front page news, what are we talking about, Yee?
Well, let's talk about extortion. Find out who is about to get extorted, or they were trying to extort him, and he has blown a cover off of all of that.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I'm going to be honest with you. That's a great record, man. Sicko Mode is really a great record.
You just realizing that?
Well, a couple reasons. I mean, okay. The random racial slur that's in there that they still haven't caught, and the fact that he just gives a random shout out to Jamba Juice. Unless I heard it wrong. That's where he just said something about
Jamba
Ferrari.
Juice. Jamba Juice.
Jamba Juice. Yes. What the hell I got to do with anything?
He's just taking a live Ferrari to Jamba Juice.
Ferrari to Jamba Juice.
$4 million car.
God damn it. Drop one of Clues Bombs.
Anyway.
Just to take a Ferrari to get the runs.
Let's get some front page news. Now, let's talk sports first. Team LeBron versus Team Greek Freak. Now, LeBron picked Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, and of course, he picked his guy, Dwayne Wade.
I thought they threw Dwayne Wade on there, like on some honorary, like, you know, this year last
season. They did, but he still had to
pick
him, though.
Oh, okay.
And the Greek Freak picked up Curry, Paul George, Kemba Walker, Russell Westbrook, D'Angelo Russell. You should be excited about that, Yee.
Yes, Brooklyn Nets, baby.
Yeah, so it should be a great game. I think.
Who do you think is going to win?
LeBron's team. I mean, LeBron has Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Leonard.
It's a strong
Anthony
team.
Anthony Davis, Ben Simmons, Klay Thompson, Dwayne Wade. I mean,
all the people he couldn't, he'll never play with in real life.
Yes.
So he put, because the Lakers couldn't get no trade done yesterday.
Not at all. But what else are you talking about, Yee?
Well, let's talk about Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon. He's accusing the National Enquirer of trying to extort him. Now, according to a post that he put up on the blogging platform Medium, he said that something unusual happened to me yesterday. Actually, for me, it wasn't just unusual. It was a first. I was made an offer I couldn't refuse, or at least that's what the top people at the National Enquirer thought. I'm glad they thought that because it emboldened them to put it all in writing. Rather than capitulate to extortion and blackmail, I've decided to publish exactly what they sent me, despite the personal cost and embarrassment they threatened.
I love it.
So basically, they were threatening to release some more pictures and text messages between Bezos and Sanchez. You know, the whole thing was blown up because he was having an affair, and he actually had to announce the affair that he was having before the National Enquirer put the story out. So
yeah, so it's already out there now, so you can't blackmail him more. Like, Jeff is like, F it. You already put all the dirt out there about me.
I think he was concerned about the pictures.
The pictures, yeah. And the pictures are a shirtless Bezos holding his phone in his left hand while wearing his wedding ring, and he's wearing some shorts that show his semi-erect manhood penetrating the zipper of the garment.
First of all,
that cannot embarrass Jeff Bezos. I don't care how small his penis is. I don't care how big his penis is. Man is the richest man in the world. Who would care? I don't even know. Some people don't even know what Jeff Bezos looks like right now.
Not at all.
There's also a naked selfie in the bathroom where he's wearing nothing but a towel.
They can't put that
out. That's not naked.
I'm looking at the descriptions because that's the description of what they said they have. I'm looking at the descriptions. They don't sound that bad.
Dropping a clue.
Like, there's a picture of Sanchez wearing a two-piece red bikini revealing her cleavage.
So what?
That's a bikini.
Drop one of Clues Bombs for Jeff Bezos. Who do they think this man is? This man's not a priest. He's not a pastor. You know what I'm saying? He's not out here fronting, putting on like some, you know, air like I'm perfect. Like, who cares if Jeff Bezos got a semi-erect penis and a towel? Who cares?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so he basically has exposed that they are trying to extort him, and he has the emails to prove it.
Mm-hmm. Kind of hard not to try to extort somebody that's worth billions of dollars, because in their mind, they're thinking, like, he got it. He could toss a couple
cards. You know, he was doing an investigation on the Enquirer on how they got the text messages that they released previously. So they don't want that investigation to keep on going. And then some people feel like it has something to do with Donald Trump, because Donald Trump doesn't like the Washington Post. It's like a whole lot more politically involved, too.
I hope they got the coins to go toe-to-toe with Jeff Bezos. Bezos for a long time. Because the same way you think this man will just kick out money because he don't want to be bothered with this lawsuit or this extortion, he'll probably fight you for years because he got it.
Yeah.
He got it.
All right.
He'll drain you before you drain him.
That's front page news. Now get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night or a bad morning. You just need to vent a little bit. Maybe,
maybe
like
you
me,
haven't slept
and
at
you
all.
Haven't slept. There you go. Call us right now. 800-585-1051 is The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
This is Mike again.
Hey, Mike, man, we didn't hear you before. What you say now, Mike?
I just wanted to thank y'all for riding with me to work every day, man. I appreciate y'all and what y'all do. And I wanted to mention to Miss Yee that my mom passed when I was 9. So any opportunity to call and speak to a loved one or a friend or go to your old phone and talk to people just for the hell of it, because you never know when you'll get that call and wish, oh, man, I really wish I would have called them, or I meant to call them, or I was supposed to call them. We used to be friends.
Right.
And that's about it.
You're absolutely right, and I am going to do better at that.
Yeah, I take my old phones with me to work, and I go through it, man, and I call people who I ain't talked to in years. And the first thing they say is, oh, what happened? Well, what happened? Something happened to somebody? No, I just called to say hi, man. I hadn't talked to you in a while. Everything's all right. I don't need no money.
You're right.
Okay, bro.
And I want to give a shout out to my kids, man. I appreciate them for taking care of themselves in the morning, which allows me to get out and get to work on time. You know, I know it's hard, and I know I put a lot on them, but I just wanted to give a shout out to them.
How old are your kids?
My daughter's 17, Layla. My other daughter's 16, Lahoana. Lahua's 14, Mason's 10, and Leiloha is 8.
Okay.
Yeah, right, okay. Bro. They grown.
Have a good one, man.
Y'all too.
Chris.
Hey,
Chris, you want to know what I want to know, Chris?
That's exactly, you already know, man.
Ask your question, Chris. They don't know. Ask your question.
Yo.
All right. Yeah, so, Charlamagne, I saw the interview yesterday with the life coach. I forgot his name.
Mike Baer.
And you were saying something along the lines where you had something to get off your chest that is bothering you. Like, can you just admit that you gay?
Cause I didn't think it was that, like, Chris.
You want me to admit that I'm gay?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think you have something to get off your chest. And you, like, you've been saying a lot of things. Like, you kind of hinting that you're gay, but now you're saying that there's something that you really want to get off your chest. Can you just admit that?
All right, hold on. Angela's cutting in. Okay, you can't make people come out of the closet until they're ready. Number one, so you can't. You can't force somebody if they're not ready for that to say, okay, I'm gay. You have to let people do that in their own time.
Yeah, Chris,
hold on.
Well, one thing about me, Chris, one thing about me is I don't have a fragile ego or fragile masculinity. So if you think that I'm gay because of certain things I say, that's your problem, not mine.
No, it's not a problem. I'm just saying, like, you say all these things, so you might as well just, you know, come on,
Chris,
man.
Chris, he's not
well,
ready yet, Chris.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. At 8 o'clock today during Freaky Freaky Friday, you might want to call back because we're asking a simple question.
What?
Okay, what would you give a job for as a man?
Oh, nothing.
That's a lie.
Nothing.
If your kids were tied up in a Brooklyn basement,
right,
and the only way you could get them free was to give a job, you wouldn't do it?
You wouldn't do it?
Nah, I'm going to make more kids, man.
Oh, wow.
I'll make more kids.
See what I'm saying?
My goodness.
See what I'm saying?
But when you're ready to come out, Charlamagne, you just come out, man. We'll accept you, whatever.
Shut up.
800-585-1051. Get it off your chest. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Let's go.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're man
or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Brown.
Yes.
Brown, baby. What's up, mama? That's Foxy.
Nothing. Just a little cranky.
Why you cranky, mama?
Couldn't sleep all night. My man snores so loud. Oh, my God.
I know that feeling.
I can't take it. And we're in a little small studio, so it's kind of hard.
And then you can't really wear earplugs because you won't hear your alarm when that goes off. So you kind of have to, I don't know.
And then on top of that, I try, you know, earbuds with music. I wake up with headaches. I can't do that.
Let me tell you something. CBD oil. Listen to me.
Excuse me?
CBD oil.
What is that?
CBD oil. You can. I get mine from the pharmacy. I take the CBD gummies before bed. They help me sleep. They help with my anxiety. I take the CBD syrup. It's like a form of the marijuana plant, but it's the part that don't get you high. It helps with healing. I'm telling you. You
can get that at? Because I'll get that.
You can get it. You can get
the pharmacy.
A pharmacy or any like Green Life or Healthy Store, they usually have them.
They got the CBD cream.
He got to find out why he's snoring like that too, because that's not a good sleep for him either.
Some people just snore though.
Does he have sleep apnea or something?
Yeah, he's scary though. He don't even want to go and check that out.
He should check that out.
For like 2 years.
Is he fat?
No.
Oh.
That's not the only way you have sleep apnea.
Yeah, he's not fat.
Listen, go
yeah, he should get that checked out, and they'll give him something so that he can monitor his sleep as
Absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, mama. Good luck.
Thank you.
Jay.
Yeah.
What's up, Jay?
Hi.
Get it off your chest, bro.
All right, so I've been, like, working nonstop, and it's irritating as hell. It's like how when you get money, it seems like it always goes straight to bills. And it's just like I've been working on the music. I've been working on the music career. People been snub, like people has been snubbing the f*** out of me.
Well, no cursing.
It's like every time, it's like every time that you know I get some kind of work or some kind of project or something like that done, it's like people just come and just completely take that away from me. Like I have a daughter that I have to take care of, and that's just like enough already as it is.
So it says on this sheet that you strip.
I have done that before. Like. I had people threatening to call me because of the called Child Protective Service because they felt like my child didn't have certain things and stuff. And I'm just like, don't worry about what me and my child got. As long as my child is getting dressed, you know, as long as my child is getting to school, as long as my child.
But doesn't your child have, bro?
I'm so confused about this whole phone call. What is?
He's broke. He has no money and he's dealing. He's going through hard times. What doesn't your child have? And where you from?
I'm from Georgia.
Okay.
My child doesn't have nothing, but it's because of the fact, like, I'm young. Like, I'm 21. I'm working on the music career. But it just seems like every time, like, I get a check or every time I get money, it's just going straight out the door towards bills.
I mean, that's usually the way life works, sir. You have bills to pay.
Where do you work?
Got 3 jobs, man. I work for Walmart, I work for Popeyes, and then I work for a nursing home.
God bless you working for Popeyes, my brother. And Walmart. You work at 2 of the most holy institutions in the community today. Are you looking at the blessing that you have in your life?
Well, keep grinding it out, bro, man. If it's meant to happen, it's meant to happen.
He not appreciating his blessings.
I mean, let's hear him rap.
I mean, it's tough, though, sometimes when you work and live in check to check. I know I've been there before.
You work at Walmart and Popeyes.
Let me hear you rap, sir.
He said he hit me rap.
Yes.
Yeah, is you an artist?
Why you assume he rap? Because he black?
Yeah.
He said he rap.
Yeah.
He might sing.
Well, let's hear it.
All right. From the 706, making bass and making hits. All these dudes, I can't curse those. From the 706, making bass and making hits. All these dudes out here, no, I get that bag quick. All these dudes out here don't want that hat, though. I mean, I can make cash, though. All these motherfuckers out here, no, I move, though.
Okay, look, we're going to fart all over these bars.
You should concentrate on something else. What else?
Yeah, you're going to be broke for a long time if you're relying on your rap career, my brother. This is what I think you should do. You should learn a trade.
Yeah, what else are you into, bro?
You should learn a trade, bro.
Automotive?
Yeah, your kid can't eat off them bars you spitting.
There's Lincoln Tech out in Georgia. They help with automotive.
In Virginia.
I literally got my manager.
I thought you said the 706.
So I couldn't really. Huh? I really have a manager right there, so I really couldn't.
You got a what?
I got my manager, like, standing right here beside
me.
Man,
don't blame your whack rhymes on your manager. Listen, go learn a trade, okay? Go learn a trade, and you can be a productive person in this society.
There's automotive, there's nursing, there's sanitation, there's a police officer test is coming around the corner. There's a lot you can do, bro.
Yeah, that rap ain't going to do nothing for you. I'm going to be honest with you. The way you rap make me want to pay for your trade school. That's how bad I want to keep you away from a recording booth.
Hello?
Hung up on y'all.
Don't you spitting nobody rice and beans today now.
Hello?
Because you mad.
Y'all just made him feel even worse.
We're being honest. If he was a little, I'd be like, yo, keep working on it. But
you know this segment is supposed to be for people to vent, get it off their chest, and feel better.
Well, he made me mad. So I decided to vent just now.
Sheesh.
All right. Well, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. I just want to go to one more line. It's Jasmine. It's her birthday. Jasmine, happy birthday, mama.
Yay! Oh, my God. I got through.
It's a bad one birthday. It's a bad one birthday.
Thank you.
It's a bad one birthday.
Oh, my God. I love you so much.
Well, we love
That's
you
it?
Back.
Come on, girl. What you doing for your birthday?
Nothing. I'm going to go to the gym.
That's it? You're not going anywhere? There's no surprises from your friends or family?
No.
I'm sorry. Where you from?
I'm from Brooklyn.
Okay.
Well, happy born day, boo.
Oh, you got to go out to eat in Brooklyn at least.
I might go to Mango Street. I live right down the block.
Oh, you know that's my spot. Okay.
Yes. All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, Mama. Happy
Run
birthday.
Run punch on
Bye.
Me.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. We got rumors on the way?
Yes, let's talk about Tekashi 6ix9ine. Now, his child's mother has some allegations against him. We'll tell you what she has to say about what Tekashi 6ix9ine has done to her.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Everybody, it's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Wendy Williams.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has
Club. Well, according to sources on Page Six, they're saying that Wendy Williams is scared that she's going to lose her show. As you know, she's been having stand-ins fill in for her ever since she's had to take a break for a number of different reasons. And according to an insider, she is super scared and anxious. And watching Nick Cannon being a hit with her audience is very tough for her. They're already starting to mess with the format. It's like watching them screw around with her baby.
Well, nothing to be scared of when you live your truth. When you live in a lie, you have plenty to fear. And it's going to come a point in time when you have to stop lying and covering up what's going on with you and tell the truth, because the truth is going to come out regardless. And then when everybody finds out you've been lying to people, they don't trust your word anymore, and then you're done.
What's the truth?
I don't know.
Oh.
But you got to take care of your health, whether it's physical, mental, both, whatever it is. That's the first priority, I would say, before you decide to do anything. So she can't go back on the air until
once again
she's good.
Nothing to be scared of when you live your truth. When you live a lie, you have plenty to fear.
All right, now LeVar Ball, is he better than LeBron? Well, Lonzo Ball. LeVar Ball talks about Lonzo Ball, his son. Is he better than LeBron? Here's what he said on Undisputed.
I don't know if you noticed, there's a guy on Lonzo's team.
What's his name?
And Lonzo is not the best player on that team now.
Are you crazy?
Are you saying Lonzo better than LeBron?
Yes. LeBron getting older. I mean, I'll make Zoe better than LeBron if I'm coaching, because I'm going to let him loose.
What do you guys think?
The only reason LeVar is saying that now is because he's upset that Lonzo Ball has been in all the trade rumors, and he's pissed, and I understand it. You don't care about my son, Lakers. I don't care about y'all or LeBron. And you know what's sad about this situation? The Lakers probably not going to make the playoffs now. Because now LeBron has to play with a bunch of teammates who know they aren't wanted in L.A. Don't come here trying to motivate me now when you was just trying to trade me yesterday.
Well, should the Lakers trade Lonzo Ball?
I mean, it's too late.
They can't now.
Trade
it's too late.
Yesterday.
It's too late now.
Here's what LeVar Ball had to say about what would happen.
I told the Lakers a long time ago, if you trade my son, it'd be the worst thing you ever did. And I guarantee they trade my son, they will never get a championship. Mm-hmm. They trying to do it like this where they're getting all these players. They ain't the players, the coach.
So you're saying LeBron James without Lonzo cannot win a championship in Los Angeles?
LeBron James without Lonzo is not going to win a championship.
Well, he's definitely right about this year. He's definitely not winning no championship this year. Okay?
Without Lonzo.
Not. Without anybody. If that person ain't Anthony Davis or Kawhi Leonard, and that ain't happening, so they definitely not winning a championship this year.
All right. Now let's talk about Lamar Odom. He has officially entered the Big Three draft pool. He's been working out really hard, and according to the league, they said, we're thrilled to see him return to U.S. professional basketball at the Big Three season. So we'll see what happens. Somebody's got to pick him up. We haven't seen what he plays like now. But he's been playing overseas, right?
I don't know if he's been playing overseas, but I know he's been working out heavy. I know he's been doing a lot of pickup games, so we'll see how he is.
Yeah, he played recently overseas for the Mighty Sports Philippines, and he's been training, they said, like crazy to get back on the court. So we'll see if he actually gets picked when the Big Three draft comes around in April.
Well, that's a success story if he ends up back on the Big Three,
mm-hmm.
especially being all he went through.
Yeah, that'd be nice for him. All right, Justin Bieber. Now, he was in Vogue magazine, and he was there with his wife, Hailey Baldwin, and he talks about not having sex for a year before getting married to Hailey. He said that he decided to do that because he needed to feel closer to God. He thought it would be a good way of bettering the condition of his soul, and he thinks that God rewarded him with Hailey as a result. And when they did get back together, they actually refrained from having sex until they officially got married when they went to the courthouse in New York City. He also said he had a legitimate problem with sex. He said it was his remaining vice that didn't provide pleasure anymore.
That's real.
He also says he abused Xanax in his youth, and he said drugs put a screen between me and what I was doing. And he said his security would sometimes check his pulse at night to make sure that he was still breathing.
That's real. Wow. Y'all be so worried about good sex, you better make sure your partner got good spirit. I was listening to Gary Zukav and Linda Francis today on Oprah Super Soul Podcast. I literally listened to that this morning. They were talking about spiritual partnerships and being yoked with your partner at the spirit. You know what I'm saying? Growing your spirit, you know? That's what it seemed like Justin and Holly did.
And you see when Devon came on the show and he talks about him and Megan Good and how they waited to have sex until they got married. Right. And he was celibate for a long period of time after he was running around a lot in his earlier days.
That's right. Stop worrying about a nut and worry about your soul.
And people do tend to be a lot more productive when sex isn't what their goal is all the time. So imagine how much more productive people could be if they would just wait.
Listen, man, spiritual partners over sexual partners.
I'm not going to do it, but...
Because all the physical going to fade at some point in your life. All the physical attraction and everything going to fade at some point in your life. Your balls going to get saggy. Your breasts going to get saggy. You're not going to look at your partner the same. Spiritual partnerships over sexual partnerships.
You don't think that you're still attracted to somebody that you were in love with, even if their looks change?
Absolutely.
Over the years? I look at my wife still
the same.
Be in love.
I look at my wife the same as I looked at 21. I love her the same. I don't care. She looks at me the same as
well.
And
I'm sure you'll feel like that at 70 and 80, too, because of the spiritual connection that y'all have.
Right.
But I think you can still be physically attracted.
Absolutely.
If you're, because somebody could be ugly to you based on their personality. But I think, you know, if you're truly in love with somebody, it's not just about their looks. You could be physically attracted to them.
I just said that. That's all I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
No, but you're saying that when people's things get saggy and all of that, you're not going to be physically attracted to them.
I did not say that. I said that when that happens, you still have a spiritual attraction to a person and you're connected to the spirit. So you're not even caring about the physical.
Well, it doesn't matter. When my balls drop to my knees, my wife's going to be holding them up for me, all right? That's what it is. She's going to love me regardless.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
All right, we got front page news coming up.
Yes, we are going to talk about extortion, find out who was trying to extort Jeff Bezos, and he has all of the receipts.
All right, we'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. It's a Friday. We are The Breakfast Club.
That's right. It's National Laugh and Get Rich Day. So everybody get a good chuckle and get some cash today.
All right. Well, let's get into some front page news. Now, NBA All-Star is next week. Team LeBron versus Team Greek Freak. Now, LeBron picked up Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, Ben Simmons, Klay Thompson, Dwayne Wade, just to name a few. And the Greek Freak picked up Curry, Joel Embiid, Paul George, Kemba Walker, Dirk. He picked up D'Angelo Russell. That's a shout to you, Yee. And Russell Westbrook. I think Team LeBron is going to smash Team Greek Freak.
FYI, LeBron wishes he could do that in real life.
He definitely does.
He wishes it was that easy.
Yeah. That could be his team.
His team.
Absolutely. Yeah,
he wished that's who he was playing with on the Lakers.
Now, what else are we talking about, Yee?
Well, let's talk about this extortion attempt. Now, Jeff Bezos, who's the founder of Amazon, he's a billionaire, went on the blogging platform Medium and said that the National Enquirer executives were trying to extort him. He said, something unusual happened to me yesterday. He said, I was made an offer I couldn't refuse, or at least that's what the top people at the National Enquirer thought. I'm glad they thought that because it emboldened them to put it all in writing. Rather than capitulate to extortion and blackmail, I've decided to publish exactly what they sent me, despite the personal cost and embarrassment they threatened. Mm. So basically, they were threatening to release some pictures of him and his former mistress, now his girlfriend, Lauren Sanchez. So I guess that's his way of saying, no, you will not extort me.
Good for Jeff Bezos. Live your truth so nobody can use your truth against you. That's all. It's the Eminem and 8 Mile out there. You know what I mean? Whatever you about to say about me or do to me, I'm going to say and do to myself. Now what?
It feels like extortion is also something like that with someone like him. When does it stop?
Yeah,
you know, once you start paying, why would you ever stop paying? Because they already have these things. So now I've already extorted you. Now I'm going to keep on doing that. So you kind of have to put a stop to it.
You're right. And so when you go to war with somebody like Jeff Bezos, you better make sure you have your money right. Because Jeff Bezos can keep you tied up in court for a long time.
He got some money for lawyers. Yep.
Time.
You're right.
All right.
And, you know, there's always these rumors about how the Enquirer buys up all these stories, these negative stories about Donald Trump to make sure that they never get published. So whatever pictures that have to do with Donald Trump, they spend a lot of money buying those things so that it doesn't go to another outlet. It doesn't get put out there.
Why? They support Donald Trump?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
All right, now let's discuss Delta and Coke. They've had to apologize, as in Coca-Cola, okay, before Charlamagne thinks we're talking about sniffing Coke. Delta and Coca-Cola had to apologize to passengers. They objected to their new in-flight napkins. Now, on those napkins, people were encouraged to actually give out their phone numbers and give them to people that are strangers. So one napkin said, drink Coke because you're on a plane full of interesting people. And hey, you never know. On the other side, it has the name and the phone number. So I guess you're supposed to pass your phone number to a stranger on the flight. Now, people were on social media like, hey, Delta and Coca-Cola, these napkins are creepy. Pretty sure no one appreciated unsolicited phone numbers in the good old days. And they sure as heck don't want the number of someone who's been gawking at them on a plane for hours today. Not a good look.
See, I can see both sides of this. Number one, nobody wants to be bothered on the flight. Number two, that is the very old school way of, you know, connecting with somebody.
Meeting somebody.
Yeah, but why is this creepy? Because I wrote my number down and I passed it to you. If you either take the number or you don't, or you use the number or you don't. Why is that considered creepy?
It's probably a little awkward when you're on a plane and someone hands that to you and they're like staring at you and now it's uncomfortable.
As somebody who's 40 years old, how many times did we used to do that back in the day? So you're trying to tell me now, back in the day when we was in elementary school, when you used to write letters that say, would you go with me, check yes or check no?
That's creepy now.
Man, come on.
Now it's following me on social media.
I think it's just encouraging people to do it, and they're like, look, I get that people are going to do what they're going to do, but instead of having that on every napkin on the plane, Let's not encourage it.
So we shouldn't encourage people to meet people and talk to people and make a choice.
You can speak to people, but to pass them your number and you didn't even want it. Y'all haven't even had a conversation.
Yeah, but you could just say no. I'm not calling you.
Yeah. Or what if we did strike up a little conversation on the plane, and then I say, hey.
You don't need a napkin.
Why not? That's just like saying, yo, let me give you my number. Let me get my Instagram page. Like, that's old school. Write down my name. Here's my number. Yo, call me sometime. What's wrong with that?
Well, they have apologized since to anybody they've offended, and they said they are removing those napkins
and
replacing them with other designs.
Social media backlash makes everybody apologize for things that they really shouldn't even be apologizing for. They ain't really sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too.
All right.
I apologize.
Thank you.
For whatever. I apologize
in advance.
I apologize for y'all being mad at me apologizing. I'm sorry for being sorry.
There you go.
Sorry.
All right.
Sorry.
I accept your apology.
I'm sorry.
All right.
I am sorry. I'm sorry for ain't being sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry when I'm not sorry, and I feel like being sorry. I'm sorry that you think I need to be sorry,
I'm sorry. That's front page news, all right? And when we come back, Aldis Hodge will be joining us,
I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry that you don't know who Aldis Hodge is.
Why are you sorry for Aldis Hodge?
Because I'm sorry that people don't know who he is, but...
Explain who he is.
How do you know people don't know who he is?
Well, I'm apologizing to the people who don't know who he is, because the people that know who he is don't matter in situations like this. So I'm sorry that Aldis Hodge was MC Ren in Straight Outta Compton, and I'm sorry that he's playing in Taraji P. Henson's new movie, What
Men Want.
And I'm sorry that this kid is absolutely going to be a star one day. He's a great guy. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry Charlamagne keeps apologizing.
I'm sorry if you...
You guys got it out of your system?
Not yet. One more, Charlamagne.
And I'm sorry that we got Aldis Hodge on and not Taraji.
Yeah, we're sorry about that one for sure.
I'm sorry.
All right. Breakfast Club, good morning. EJNV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne the Guy. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. And I just seen him have sex with Taraji P. Henson.
Whoa.
Aldis Hodge!
What's happening? What's happening? You just gonna put all my business out?
That was a creepy
introduction. That was horrible. I mean, out of context, I don't know what that means. Because right before the mics went on, you asked him what was his size.
Yeah,
that is a fact.
That is a fact.
Now you started acting at a very young age, right? Three.
Yeah, man, I was like two. Yeah, my brother Edwin Hodge, he's also an actor, so he started first. We were out here, you know, just doing print work, extra work, all that, but. We were doing like a thing in Essence photo shoot. They needed an extra kid. My mom told me if I did the job, I'd get a Batman toy. So I got my Batman hustle up. And honestly, I was an entrepreneur from a young age. Always, I was hustling whatever. You know, I remember my brother and I did a show on Broadway called Showboat. And then Showboat, you know, we sitting there doing a play and all that. But I'm sitting there writing poems, trying to sell it to my fellow castmates. I'm 8 years old.
You're like, writing poems to
writing
sell?
Poems. You want this poem?
Anybody I
had
buy
a
him?
Business. I think like one or two people.
Oh, but, that's it. They should have, out of pity, been like, look, here.
Yeah,
eight years old.
You know, they were not. But, you know, I was trying to, look, I was not playing. I had my hustle.
What did your parents do that, instill that in you?
So both of my parents are former Marines. They met in Okinawa, Japan, stationed out there. My mom's. I was raised in a single-parent household primarily. My mother was all discipline, education. So when it came to acting, she was like, look, it's the privilege, not the priority. So we had to earn it. If we weren't bringing A's and B's home, We weren't going on no auditions. Mm-hmm. We're going to be none of that. She made sure that education was primary and that we had a childhood. All we knew, like, she told us, they can take anything in this world away from you except for what you know, right? And, again, we were doing the business, but we were still in Jersey. There was a time that, you know, we weren't doing so well. It was a time we were Trenton, Clifton, Hackensack.
Okay.
You know, it was a time we used to live in our car. You know, we'd been homeless 2-3 times. So all I knew was that if I wanted a certain reality, I had to make it. It was that I was not a product of my reality. My reality was going to be a product of me. So for me, that's where all these ideas came out, because I knew I wanted all these things without the idea that I could buy them. So I said, I'm going to just make it. That's why, that's a part of what drove me to my engineering path. And
you went to school for engineering?
I went to school. I was at Art Center College of Design for architecture and product design for like 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't finish just because I got a job that took me, I started doing Friday Night Lights, I think it was. That was in Texas. A couple months turned into like a whole year. So I've been self-taught.
How do you teach yourself to be an engineer? Like, just take stuff apart and put it back together?
Yeah. You. It's passion, basically.
Oh, I'm an engineer too then.
You know.
No, you're not. You're not an engineer.
No, you do. Look, I grabbed a bunch of books. Most of them are in French, so I had to start learning French. But yeah, you just buy a bunch of machines or you buy parts, take them apart, put them back together, see how it works. And then I start studying design and understanding the relationships, distances, all that kind of stuff.
Now, weren't you in Die Hard?
I was in 2 Die Hard, actually,
really?
Man. But yeah, the first one was out here. Two different characters. Yeah.
Wow.
Nobody knew. Nobody caught it. Yeah, man, Die Hard with a Vengeance back when I was like 8-9 years old. That was out here. We shot it out here. Mm-hmm. That was pretty dope because I had no idea who Sam Jackson or Bruce Willis was because I couldn't
this
watch
was your
their
first
movies.
Movie.
Nah, one of the first. It was like my second or third, something like that. But
how old were you then? 8?
I was like 8, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You couldn't watch no Sam Jackson.
Nah, I couldn't watch no
Pulp Fiction.
Nah. So, yeah, man, Die with a Vengeance, that was pretty dope because Sam actually told my mom, if your boys want to learn real foundation of acting, they got to get on stage. And coincidentally enough, my brother and I had an audition for Showboat right after that. Didn't realize what it was. We thought it was like the longest commercial ever because the contract came down for like 6 months, but ended up doing that Broadway show for about 2.5 years. I came in a little later. I was a little young at first, so my brother did it for 2.5 years. I joined him midway and did a year and a half of that.
So you were homeschooled during that time?
Oh, yeah, homeschooled. I was, I think I hit homeschool around 4th grade because my brother and I were always fighting in school. Mm-hmm. We grew up around a lot, even in Jersey, like in Clifton, one too many black families around. We were one of few. We dealt with a lot of racism, and we even dealt like the KKK were out there too, which most people don't. Yeah, that's the thing. Most people are surprised, but we grew up around that. I'm talking trash thrown on the lawn and thrown in our backyard every morning. We had our Christmas lights cut 3 years in a row, so we just stopped putting them up.
Damn.
You know, the school tried to expel me for whooping a boy up just because he called me the N-word. And, you know, you sitting there like, 7 years old, what you going to do? You know, back then for us, it was a weapon. So, you know, called me that word, and they said I was being a little rough on the boy. I don't know, but they beat me off the boy. They tried to get the cops. My mama said, if you're going to expel my baby, you got everybody going to get the N-whoop. So what happened was my mom started working up in the school, and they called her the lunch lady from hell because she was there to monitor us, but also to really protect us, but also to look out for other kids as well, because there was a lot of mess going on in that school.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I started getting homeschooled around 4th grade, and then you know, we knocked that out up until I was 14, where I started college.
14?
Yeah. That's told you crazy. Education wasn't a joke, man. It just wasn't a school
14
bus.
14 in college.
Normal? I mean, granted, I'd been in the business for so long at this point, I'm always around adults.
Okay.
Plus, I'm a little old man in general. My name means old man, literally.
It does.
So, old man or of
old
the old
man
house.
Hot.
I was cursed since I was a child.
What language is that?
It's English, man. It's a British name.
Gotcha.
But you know, for me, it was more normal to be around adults. And, you know, even though I'm 14, I'm in my classmates, you know, they like from 20 to 50 years old. I've been around this on a regular basis. I was always awkward around cats my own age.
Mm-hmm.
I was that strange little kid. So for me, it was cool. Plus, I was there with my brother. My brother was 15, so we were in college together.
Damn.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't had no sex life in college.
I didn't want no sex. Bro, I was
He's
about
14.
The books.
Yeah, yeah,
about
yeah.
About the books.
He That's my point.
Yeah.
You know, he was playing boxes together.
It was unconventional, you know what I'm saying? But
unconventional what?
Just my academia, man.
It was unconventional.
Like, even my little sister, she's 10 years younger than me, but she started UCLA at 16. She graduated in 3 years.
Man, God bless your mom.
Hey. Absolutely.
Lord have mercy.
She even started, I think she was 14. She went to her first medical program at Berkeley.
Wow. Yeah,
my sister.
Mm-hmm. What role did your father play in your life, if any?
So Pops wasn't around when I was younger, but we... You know, we started a verbal relationship when I was like 13. That relationship is a beautiful thing just because we were able to talk out our differences, and I was able to understand where he was as a man as I got older, because I dealt with a lot of anger and depression and all that. Didn't realize it had to do with, you know, some of it had to do with his absence and other things. But us being able to actually talk about it and me getting to understand who he was as a man then in that time helped me to get to a point to forgive. No matter how old you get, there's a point you still gonna need your parents. And if y'all can find it, I say fight for it, you know, because it's still things as a man I'm trying to figure out.
Sons always gonna want the respect of their fathers.
Yeah. But I know, like, in my position, to get that respect, I definitely had to give that respect, so it couldn't come from a place of anger dealing with him, you know what I mean? You know, I was dealt the hand that I had, but I had great parents, man, and I can't even shade none of the experience or maybe the lack of presence, just because that's what made me what I am. I say, my sister is my heart, my mom is my strength, my brother, to a degree, is like, you know, a part of my wisdom.
All right, we got more with Aldis Hodge. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Aldis Hodge in the building.
Now, let's talk about the movie, because I know we want to
get it. Let's talk about the movie.
Can we get into the movie, What Men Want, which I'm excited for. Had you seen the original, What Women Want, before?
Yeah, I saw the original for sure.
Was it before or after? Because that's a classic movie.
It was before. Yeah. I saw it when it came out. Mm-hmm. I was actually a fan of it, you know. But when I've seen our movie, and I'm more of a fan of ours.
So, yeah, as watching this movie, I was talking about this with my friends, and I was like, we want to know what men are thinking. But I'm like, I don't know if that's information that we necessarily...
Would you want to know what your man is thinking?
No. I don't think so. But, I think that's dangerous, like, because people think crazy things.
They do. And you think you would want to know, but, nah, you don't want to know. Mm-hmm. And people ask me all the time, would you want to know what your girl is thinking? Hell no.
Right.
I don't need that ego check. Because, you know, fellas think they be killing some things. And, you know, your girl will let you know real quick, I love you, baby. In her mind, she's like, got it.
Is my show coming on? I wish you would
hurry
up.
He don't know what he's doing.
How was the scene with Taraji? How was that? That's
awkward as hell,
that
man.
That seemed like it was
Why?
Awkward.
Why? You see, baby boy, you just got to do a better job than Jody.
She's riding on top of him.
Damn, man.
Nah.
I mean, I've seen it.
Nah, I'm going to tell you why it's awkward. First of all, just in my experience, all sex scenes, lovemaking scenes, all that, it's awkward. People don't realize, like, you on set, first of all, you got your homie with you that you got to do a scene with, you know. I mean, it's nothing but, you know, love and respect, but at the same time, like, y'all peoples, and y'all got to get down to your bare minimums and show the world. Then you got your whole crew in there, and everybody just, you know, sitting off the side looking at you, snacking, eating chips,
right,
drinking,
like,
coffee,
cut,
you know,
that
getting ready.
That was
wrong. It's an awkward environment. Plus, we had talked about it, like, the week before we shot the scene. We talked about it, of course, and how it was going to go down, what kind of points you want to hit. And then that weekend, she got engaged.
Yep.
Damn it, man.
Yeah. So
here
then,
you come.
That
so
next
you feel like
day,
you did a trash job?
Yeah.
It was that bad.
Damn. So, nah, she got engaged. So then that I was like Monday or Tuesday or whatever when we got to it. It made us even more nervous. We just wanted to get in and out of the scene as quick as possible. Mm-hmm. I was in my relationship at the time. And, you know, the first priority is take care of home. You know, make sure you're doing your job respectfully enough that home is taken care of. Ain't no worries there. You know, and she's a consummate professional, as am I. So that wasn't an issue. But the next level of discomfort is, for me as a performer, how do we make this funny? You know, you sitting there down in your skivvies, and you got the whole world looking at you. You know what I'm saying? Chesticles out and everything. And
what are chesticles?
You know,
your chest and your testicles.
You know what I'm saying? Hey. Yeah, your chesticles. But it's like, I don't want to look stupid, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
You
I'm
gotta try to look sexy.
Like
still.
This is not.
You gotta have the good sex faces.
You know what I'm saying?
She's riding you, so it's inferring sex. And then what, now, what if you get erect while she's doing it? Because
nah, I've never actually gotten an erection during a sex scene. That's what I'm telling you, my man. It's so uncomfortable. It is so, because you're dealing with people that you know. You just had lunch with these people.
Damn.
There are so many other things going on in your mind that don't even come close to arousal. It's like,
as long as I don't have shrinkage, I wouldn't care.
Nah, bro, I'm good. I ain't had none of them problems, man. But it doesn't even get there because you still working. You still doing your
you're
job.
You're trying to remember your lines, trying to remember your angles.
Yeah, you don't worry about her going back to the trailer like, hey, he got a little meat.
Wow. Wow. Don't nobody see the meat. Bro, I got on like 5 pairs of underwear, sweats
five
on.
Pairs of underwear.
It's a pillow, you know what I mean?
Like, 5 pairs of underwear.
That's Charlamagne's worry.
Come on, you know what I'm saying? Like,
he got a little meat.
Shrinkage.
You know, it's a problem that's afflicting a lot of men out there. I don't think we pay enough attention to it. And,
especially
you know,
with
I
the
think
polar vortex.
In the fall and winter. Yes.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? I think we should start a movement, you know, for the shrinkage and just, you know, let the brothers know we care. You know what I'm saying? We care.
Little
that's all.
Meats matter.
They do.
And not little meat. Shrinkage is the difference. Shrinkage tell and little meat are two different things. There's nothing you can do about little meat.
Can you explain the difference?
Little meat is actually little meat.
So okay.
It's like a rapper.
You always got a little penis.
Right.
Shrinkage is when it's cold
yeah.
and you step out the shower and for a quick second your self-esteem drops because you're like,
right.
damn.
But
what if you got little meat with shrinkage?
Well, then you just, God cursed you.
That's all.
God hates you.
Exactly.
That's it.
You know. All right, back to the movie now.
Yeah, please. Oh my gosh.
The movie comes out on the 8th.
Yeah, February 8th, man.
And you got to work with Tracy Morgan also.
Yeah, that's a wild cat. He's funny. He is in his own orbit.
His own world, he is, man.
Yeah, Tracy, the thing I love about Tracy is that, like, he's constantly in practice. He'll be on set talking to you. You think you have a normal conversation, but you realize that the man is practicing his stand-up. You know what I'm saying? He's practicing jokes. Yeah. And then he gets on set, and he's hitting it, and you're like, oh, okay, I get it. He stays in practice.
Right.
He's a real cool cat, you know.
I feel like I don't know why I just feel like acting, like the roles you've done so far is like, they kind of like, I don't want to say beneath you, but I just feel like your range probably is way broader.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. I'm trying to get there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm going to tell you, this is a year for that, you know what I'm saying? This is a beautiful year because got a film coming out August 9th called Brian Banks, which I really love, biopic about my man Brian, who actually had a tough go at it.
Oh, is that the guy that was in jail?
Yeah, he was in jail. Yeah,
he was in prison for got falsely accused of rape.
Yeah, exactly.
That's gonna be dope.
Yeah,
yeah, I
you
remember
know
that story.
It's a beautiful film, man. That's a film full
hey,
of hope.
When does that come out?
August 9th. It's a really great film.
And you're playing Brian.
I play Brian.
Oh, that's
man.
The role, baby.
Yeah,
that's it, right?
You know?
Yeah.
That's the role.
Well, I mean, that's one. But I'm saying this year is definitely a year of range. You know, I'm out here right now shooting my TV show called City on a Hill.
That's a Showtime series?
Showtime series, yeah. And then, you know, like you mentioned, Clemency. That's actually was at Sundance. We just won the Grand Jury Prize. That's Alfre Woodard and a beautiful director, writer, Chinoye Achiuwa. They did a great, great job with that. So, and then that on top of, you know, the awesomeness of What Men Want. So for me, it's a fantastic year for exposition because
right.
I've been in the game 30 years and I have been trying to show people like, yo, I stretch.
And he's
you know,
32, by
off.
The way. The way you just said that,
two.
I've been in the game 30 years.
He's not gonna be in the game 30 years.
Come on now.
You started at 2.
I'm gonna ask you this: if you working at McDonald's, are you trying to, you know, are you trying to flip burgers for 30 years? Or are you trying to
he's
move up to management?
When he worked at
you know what I'm saying?
Sister-fied.
I ain't trying to flip burgers for no 30 years.
Nope.
I understand the sacrifices that were made because even when I was a teenager, it was some times couldn't pay the rent because I was like, I'm not going out for Thug 1 and Thug 2. I can't do it because there's got to be more. You know, I was so pissed off that the idea of the black man was always normal to see us in thug roles, but
word.
We couldn't see us. Like, my normal for black people is success. We are a massive part of America's success. We, at one
what
time,
do you mean
were
a massive
the
part?
We are.
We built this.
Well, I'm saying, like, we were the currency here.
Yes.
If you want to remove our identity from the definition of success, I don't know what's going on. Who educated you? You need to go back to school. But the problem now is with the cultural politics sort of happen, we got a whole generation that doesn't realize that.
Mm.
They just don't know. And it bothers me.
We don't
me.
Know our worth.
Nah. Whatever you want to do, you just have to be nothing but excellence. And it's not about excellence in the field. It's about excellence to yourself. Like, you have to meet and exceed your own potential. That's your responsibility to yourself, you know?
That's right.
Well, thank you for joining us, bro.
This guy's going to be a star, man. Get trapped by him now, ladies. All right, put holes in his condom now.
Oh, really?
Okay?
Wow. Really? What kind of advice is that?
February.
Brother.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, I'm going to send you my child support checks, bro. Nah. I'm going to send you my child support bill is what I'm going to do. Straight up. It's going to be about 6-7 illegitimates that you're paying for.
Okay.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Okay. Yeah.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Yes, that Aldis Hodge kid. That's his name, right?
Yes.
He's going to be a star.
I think so, too. He's already a star.
He already has a lot of things happening this year. He has a lot of movies on the way.
Yeah, he's already a star. Now, shout out to Lil Carter. Carter listens every morning to the Breakfast Club. I think Carter's either 8 or 9. He said he always tries to call up here and never gets through, so I just wanted to shout him out. His grades is good. He's nice in basketball. He's good to his brothers and sisters, so I just want to shout out Lil Carter.
Grab on crude bomb for Lil Carter. Who his parents?
Can't tell you who his parents are, but shout out
Why?
To Lil Carter. Doesn't matter who his parents are.
We want to know now.
I don't know. I don't know who his parents are.
When you're 40 years old, it always matters who the kid's parents are.
Right.
Because I don't know them kids.
You don't know them kids?
Who his daddy is?
Who his daddy is?
Who his mom is?
What they do?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know them.
I know Lil Carter.
Well, congrats, Carter.
Well, shout out to Lil Carter. Now, rumors on the way. What are we talking about?
We are going to be talking about Cardi B. Now, she had a great interview, a beautiful photo shoot, and we'll tell you what she had to say about postpartum and about her rags-to-riches story.
Okay. All right. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
All right, well, The Rock, was he supposed to host the Oscars? He tried to work it out. Well, somebody asked him on social media about that, and they said he would have been a great host for next year's Oscars. He went on social media and said they did actually ask him. He said, I was their first choice to host this year, and my goal was to make it the most fun and entertaining Oscars ever. We all tried hard but couldn't make it work since I'm shooting Jumanji. Academy and I were super bummed, but maybe one day down the road.
What do you think, Kevin Hart shooting Jumanji too?
Yep. They both are.
Oh.
So he couldn't do it because of that, but maybe his schedule was different. I don't know.
Okay.
But he's not hosting it either, so there you have it. All right, Ariana Grande's album's out, and she has a song on there that everyone's talking about called Ghostin', and it seems like she's talking about Mac Miller and his untimely passing in that song.
Oh, I wish he were here instead. Don't want that living in your head. He just comes to visit me.
All right, so everybody's talking about that song. People are saying it's really heavy to listen to. Now, she was supposed to perform at the Grammys, but according to reports, they're saying that she just couldn't pull it together for the show, and all fell apart. But she's saying it's because she felt like they disrespected her. Now, she wanted to perform her song, Seven Rings, but the producer told Ariana that song wouldn't connect with the audience, so he asked her to choose a different song. She felt so strongly about it that she said that she would pass.
What audience, though? I mean, if the show is televised on TV and Seven Rings has done well, what
it's
audience...
It's the number one song.
Yeah, what audience would it not connect with? Like, them old suits in the audience at the Grammys, literally? Because it's for TV, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's for TV. Yeah, so I mean, there's an audience there, but it's really for TV.
Yeah, so you would want the TV audience to connect with it more than anything.
I don't know. And, you know, I guess she's upset the producer's saying she couldn't pull it together, but she wants to make it clear she could have, but they wouldn't let her do the song she wanted to do. Other people who reportedly turned down performing, Kendrick Lamar, Drake, Childish Gambino, and so on. So allegedly, they decided not to perform at the Grammys, according to the producer of the show.
Okay.
All right, now let's discuss Cardi B. She's on the cover of Harper's Bazaar. She has a great new interview. By the way, I don't know if y'all saw the pictures from the photo shoot, but the photo shoot's pretty amazing.
Of course we saw the pictures.
All right, just making sure everybody might not have. Now, she addresses a lot of things in the interview, including experiencing postpartum depression after the birth of Culture, her daughter, who's now 7 months old. She said I thought I was going to avoid it when I gave birth. The doctor told me about postpartum, and I was like, well, I'm doing good right now, but I don't think that's going to happen. But out of nowhere, she said the world got heavy on her shoulders. She said she felt like she was in a haze and dropped out of that tour that she was supposed to have with Bruno Mars because she felt it would be too difficult to bring her daughter on the road. She also said she has not yet hired professional help because she's afraid she can't trust anyone. So her mom has been helping her out as far as with her daughter.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it should be. You shouldn't really trust anybody with the newborn because there's no way of actually telling, but a family member could always hope the best.
Yes,
she said, for some reason, I still don't feel like my body's the same. I feel like I don't have my balance right yet when it comes to heels. I'm not as good at walking anymore. I feel like I'm holding a weight on me. I don't know why, because I'm skinnier than ever, but there's an energy I haven't gotten back yet that I had before I was pregnant. It's just the weirdest thing. Mm. Now, she also did say in this interview that Offset suggested marriage counseling, but she doesn't want to do that. She said she just doesn't feel like it's a good idea.
Dropping the clues bombs for Offset, damn it.
He's doing the necessary steps.
You're doing the work. I like to hear stuff like that.
Doing the necessary steps.
Go to marriage counseling. What's wrong with marriage counseling?
She's just not ready for it yet.
And that's fine.
When she's ready, you know, they'll do it. But
I get it. But I like the fact that that's on his radar. I love the fact that he's suggesting marriage counseling. You got to go out there and do the work.
Anything to do, yeah, anything to get your bae back.
Now, they also asked her if anybody close to her was involved with her decision to split up with Offset. And she said, no, nobody makes my decisions about my life but me. And the reason why she didn't want to go to marriage counseling, she said that she was like, I don't want to go. There's no counselor or nothing that could make me change my mind.
That's real. Like, mm-hmm. She was not ready to forgive him in any way, shape, or form. She was upset at what he did, and she's entitled to feel that way. And when she is ready to embrace Offset and bring him back in the fold the way she wants to, she can do that too.
Yep.
And then that's right, when you go get the counseling.
Yeah, and if you ask her, are they going to get back together, she's not really sure. So it seems like she just needs some time to figure out what it is that she wants to do. And again, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the rumor is that Travis Scott and Kylie Jenner are upset at Nick Cannon, and that's because of some comments that he made as he's filling in for Wendy Williams on her show. Check it out.
I'd rather my daughter be going this direction than the Kylie Jenner direction. This girl, she may have a bad mouth. She needs some guidance. She needs a whooping. But at the same age, Kylie Jenner was getting plastic surgery. But if I had to choose, I want my daughter to get out there and be a loud mouth and talk, because then I can say it's about discipline and respect. But when it gets to that other world or things that I can't control, and because social media is controlling everything, as a parent, if I have to choose, because I can fix bad baby with a bad belt.
Listen, I don't agree with...
There's nothing wrong with what he said. That's his opinion on how he raises his daughter. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yo, I don't agree with damn near nothing Nick Cannon says, but he made a lot of noise on that show this week. Drop one of clues, Mom, from Nick Cannon. God damn it.
He's got everybody mad.
If what Nick Cannon is trying to do is put his hat in the ring to have his own daytime talk show, I vote for Nick Cannon.
Yeah.
Nick Cannon been making noise. Oh, look at him on the TV right there. Nick Cannon been making noise all week on that damn show.
That's right. And what he said was, he says, with my daughter, I would prefer to have a bad acting daughter than a daughter that is, I guess he's saying, kind of low self-esteem that wants plastic surgery at the age of 17, 18. There's nothing wrong with that. That's his opinion.
Well, Kylie and Travis got offended, and you can't help people getting offended by certain things. So they
That's
didn't like
too.
That.
And I don't beat my kids, so I don't agree with the belt thing. But I mean, I was a person that was raised by the belt and the extension cord.
It didn't work.
And the switch.
Yeah,
and
it didn't work. It doesn't seem like that works.
It didn't work at all.
No.
And by the way, she has a Snapchat show that is doing major numbers. They're saying that her show had over 10 million unique people tuned in to see what happened just this past Monday. So it looks like that is going to be a hit. All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Charlamagne!
Yes.
Who are you giving that donkey to?
Oh, we need Michelle Rodriguez to come to the front of the congregation.
You know that is.
You know Letty from the Fast and Furious.
Oh, okay. All right.
We'd like to have a word with her.
All right. We'll get into that next, and then after that, it's going to be Freaky, Freaky, Freaky Friday.
I'm looking forward to it.
I know you are. All right. Breakfast Club, good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
You don't need snow to have an adult snow day. Head to eBay this winter and make the most of your money shopping eBay deals with our best price guarantee. Plus, free shipping on millions of items. If it's happening on your adult snow day, it's happening on eBay.
You get donkey of the day. Yeah, you dumb ass. You get donkey of the day. Yeah, you dumb ass.
You are a donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, huh? I'm going to fatten all that shit around your eye.
They want this man to throw them blows, man. They waiting for Charlamagne to tap these gloves. Let's go.
They had to make the judgment of who was going to be on the Donkey of the Day.
Good morning.
They chose you.
Yes. The Breakfast Club.
Good morning.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Well, Ed Sheeran, Donkey of the Day for Friday, February 8th, goes to Michelle Rodriguez. You know Michelle Rodriguez. She plays Letty on The Fast and Furious. And yesterday, she crashed. See, Michelle Rodriguez is in the movie Widows with Liam Neeson. And if you remember this week, Liam Neeson said this.
She told me she had been raped, but she handled the situation of the rape. I asked, did she know who it was? No. What color were they? She said it was a black person. I went up and down areas with a cosh, hoping I'd be approached by somebody. I'm ashamed to say that. And I did it for maybe a week, hoping some black bastard would come out of a pub and have a go at me about something, you know, so that I could kill him.
Liam Neeson wanted to kill a random black man, any black man, because his
friend
was raped by a black man. He received donkey of the day for that. Crazy thing, this week was Trayvon Martin's born day. Trayvon Martin got killed because of the same kind of logic that Liam Neeson possessed. This is a form of profiling, okay? Liam Neeson just wanted to kill a random black man because his friend was raped by a black man. And of course, to Liam Neeson, all black men are rapists, just like to George Zimmerman, all black men are thugs. So let's not act like this mentality can't lead to violence and death, because in this country, it so often does. But back to Michelle Rodriguez. Now, during an interview with Vanity Fair, Michelle Rodriguez was asked about Liam Neeson's comments, and she replied, "It's all effing BS. Liam Neeson is not a racist. Dude, have you watched Widows? His tongue was so far down Viola Davis's throat, you can't call him a racist ever. Racists don't make out with the race they hate, especially in the way does with his tongue, and especially in the way Liam does with his tongue so deep down her throat. I don't care how good of an actor you are. It's all BS. Ignore it. He's not a racist. He's a loving man. It's all lies," end quote. Now, I don't know if Liam Neeson is a racist or not, but the comment he made about wanting to randomly kill black men is indeed very racist, and I don't know if Liam Neeson is racist or not, but I do know he's an actor, and I would think any actor can play any role. So if you are a racist in real life, to play a role on screen where you're not a racist and have to kiss a black woman doesn't seem like a stretch. But Michelle, I don't know if you know about this travesty in our country called slavery. Okay, and during slavery, sexual abuse, including rape, were very common when it came to slave masters and slaves. In fact, the sexual abuse of slaves was actually a part of the culture of slavery a lot, especially in the South, because they viewed the slaves as property. Just a little research, Michelle, will show you that in Virginia in 1662, there was a legal doctrine adopted where sexual relations between white men and black women were regulated by classifying children of slave mothers as slaves, regardless of their father's race or status. So white slave masters slept with slaves and created more slaves. There was even a whole population of mixed-race babies that developed because of these unions. Michelle, I know that you don't think the slave masters weren't racist because they impregnated the black women and had little mixed-race babies, right? Also good to note, Michelle, in those same sovereign societies, they punished sexual relations between white women and black men because it was damaging to racial purity. Like, that's very hypocritical, you think? Now, let me break this down in basic terms. I'm from South Carolina, born and raised. Drop one of Clues Bombs for South Carolina. Home to one of the most notorious racists America has ever seen. His name was Strom Thurmond. Its buildings and highways named after that bigot. Strom Thurmond was a segregationist who ran for president under the Dixiecrat Party. And once he pledged, he said, "There's not enough troops in the army to force the Southern people to break down segregation and admit the N-word race into our theaters, into our swimming pools, into our homes, and into our churches." He was a segregationist. He didn't want black people in their swimming pools, homes, churches. But he had a black daughter. He was 22 when he impregnated a 16-year-old black maid in his father's house. Her name was Essie Mae Washington Williams. Gugu is your friend, Michelle. Yes, this is America, where a white man cannot want you in his club because you are black, but can shoot your black club up and impregnate you. Furthermore, why do we live in this society where people feel they have to say something? What is the PR person's job nowadays? Did the PR person not prep Michelle and give her something nice and scripted to say when asked about Liam Neeson? I don't understand why people make statements that will ultimately cause them to lose money when shutting the hell up is free. I know that sounds cringe coming from me, okay? But I have learned, when I see a lot of people upset about something and I don't really understand why they are upset, before I make a statement and tell them they are bugging, I ask the people who I think are bugging, "Why y'all bugging?" And I don't ask it publicly, I ask privately, because that's how you learn. And when you learn, it prevents you from making statements like Michelle Rodriguez, because if you would have simply asked someone, you could have learned about America's complicated racial history. And you could have easily discovered why racists like Strom Thurmond and people with racist thoughts like Liam Neeson can love black poom poom, but also hate black people. Please let Remy Ma give Michelle Rodriguez the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw, hee-haw, you stupid motherfucker, are you dumb?
It's just a little teachable moment on this Friday morning.
Right. And since she brought up the movie Widows, I don't know if she knows how that movie ended, but if you go see that, whew.
Never seen
it's
it.
Not a good comparison.
Me neither.
Okay.
All right, now, let's get down to business.
I'm going to drink a water before we do this.
I'm glad you're clearing
your gears a little bit, bro.
I'm glad you're drinking some water. All right. It's Friday, so you know what that means.
It's freaky Friday. Now, for the past couple
calm
weeks.
Calm down.
Listen, I just want to say, I want to set this up.
I don't know what's going on. I'm in LA, and you guys are going rogue.
We've been talking about the Fire Festival, right?
And our guy, Andy.
And the documentary that was on, which one was this, the Netflix one?
The Netflix one, yes.
Fire. Mm-hmm.
Let's hear what Andy had to say. Charlamagne's so excited. You hear him? Let's hear what Andy said.
I'm going to suck you so good tonight.
Not that Andy.
The joke is old, guys.
This Andy, go ahead.
Billy called and said, Andy, we need you to take one big thing for the team. You're our wonderful gay leader, and we need you to go down. Will you suck to fix this water problem? And I literally drove home, took a shower. I drank some mouthwash. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm really. And I got into my car to drive across the island to take one for the team.
Now, this next segment on The Breakfast Club is not about equality.
No, it's not about equality right now.
It's not about equality at all. Sorry, ladies, you have to sit this one out. This is strictly the fellas talking to the fellas.
What is this question about to be?
We have to ask this strictly amongst the men.
This has nothing to do with the fellas.
This is nothing to do with the women. Don't matter if you're a gay man,
I'm scared.
A straight man, just any man out there, period.
Correct. 800-585-1051.
Are you willing to suck for truck fit?
No. What would make you do a Andy King?
What the hell was that?
What would make you, as a man,
what was that?
What would make you give fellatio? All right, now a lot of people, men out there, like, no, I would never. So let's have a little. Let's
and
have
some
a
people are saying just because it's nice out.
Yeah, you make it sound like that's it's just recreation,
right?
Okay, what would you do it for? Look what Andy was willing to do it for. Andy was willing to do it to make sure that water got into the Fire Festival.
Okay, Charlamagne, what would
what
you...
would you be willing to give fellatio for?
Charlamagne,
fellas?
What would you?
I'll wait and hear what everybody else got to say.
Okay, 800-585-1051. Before we go, can I just ask Dramos right fast? Dramos, now, there's a gunman.
Dramos got a bid.
Let me go first.
What do you mean, why
these
you gotta go first?
Hypothetical situation.
Because you are a guy. You are
Dramos.
Andy, Drum.
There's a
we
gunman.
We can depend on you.
He got a gun to your mother's head.
He got a gun to your mama's head, Drum.
It says, Dramos, I'll let her go if you suck my...
Drum, I'll let her go if you put that bid on my boss.
What? Y'all are crazy.
Would you do it?
You got to pull an Andy in that one.
Hey!
Dramos, I'm going to do it.
Drop on a clues bar for yourself, Dramos.
There you go, Dramos.
Hey, you got to pull
right.
Andy.
Let's have some fun.
Who
it's Freaky Friday, 800-585-1051.
Sorry, ye. Okay?
Listen, I'm not going to say what y'all said behind the scenes.
Why? You played on the air all the goddamn time. All
right.
We're going to do it when we come back.
Charlamagne said he'll do it for a Krispy Kreme donut.
I did not say that. Charlamagne said nothing of the such.
I think I heard that too, Gee.
I can afford my own Krispy Kreme.
All right. We'll do it when
I
we come back.
I refuse to give an Andy for something I can afford myself.
It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
Do we got that instrumental playing? You got that cam playing? Yes.
It's Friday, so you know what that means. It's
freaky Friday.
And the freaky Friday question just goes to the fellas out there today.
Yeah, I'm going to just stand down.
All right, so we're asking, what would make you do a Andy King?
If you don't know who Andy King is, Andy King is the BJ King. He's on the Netflix Fire documentary. Play what Andy did, man.
Billy called and said, Andy, we need you to take one big thing for the team. You're our wonderful gay leader, and we need you to go down. Will you suck to fix this water problem? And I literally drove home, took a shower. I drank some mouthwash. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm really. And I got into my car to drive across the island to take one for the team.
All right. So
how many of y'all are willing to take one for the team like that? Fellas, we just talking to y'all this morning.
All right. So, Charlamagne.
Yeah.
Now, would you do an Andy King? If maybe somebody had your mother tied up or your daughter's tied up or your wife tied up, would you do it?
If that's the last resort.
So if they had your mom tied up and they said, you have to suck this or we're going to kill her, what would you do?
First thing I would say is, why don't you want my mom to do it? Because you already got her tied
up. That's
not
the option, Charlamagne.
Oh, I'm just like.
Would you do it?
If that's what it took, yeah, if that was like literally the last resort and I knew for a fact that my mom was going to be safe and sound, absolutely.
Okay. Now let me ask our white camera guy. Come here, Steven. Now, Steven, if they had your mom tied up, if they had your mom tied up and said the only way to get her free would to be to pull a Andy King, would you do it?
Well, she beat cancer, so I think she'd be fine.
Wow, Steve.
Damn.
But he's white. White people have no empathy for nothing. Jesus Christ, Steve. My God. Jesus Christ.
Right.
White people, some of y'all really make y'all look bad. All right. My God, Steve. That was Steve. I didn't say that.
All right, well, let's go to the phone lines. We have Michael on the line. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. What's going on? How you doing?
Hey, Michael. Now, would you do an Andy King for anything out there?
Absolutely not. Not a chance in the world.
Michael, so your kids is tied up in a Brooklyn basement.
All right. Ain't no way. I'm sorry. I go have some more kids. I cannot.
Well, y'all, what the? You know what? Black people, y'all just as ruthless as white people. What's going on in America?
Charlamagne, let me ask you something. It is no way in heck you can be considered to be a man still putting a penis in your mouth.
But if it's to save
why
your
can't
kids?
You still be a
by
man?
Way,
that's crazy.
By the way, I think it might make you more of a man to put your penis
in your mouth. I don't know that that would make you a man.
Because, listen, any man that's willing to do more than me is more of a man. He's more of a man than me.
All right, man.
I can't classify as one if I put a penis in my mouth. I'm sorry.
So yes, you mean, you okay, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, I'm listening.
The whole world is about to explode. Imagine Thanos really comes down. And the only way to defeat Thanos, he got all the Infinity Stones, is the Black Panther's penis. You not going to do it?
I ain't no way. I can't do it. Hey, we'll wake up in another world. Ain't no way.
That's crazy.
You know what?
That's crazy. That's crazy. You'll let him snap before you suck.
All right. Charles, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Charles, now, if a gunman got your kids and said, hey, the only way I'm going to release this kid is if you suck, you know what, do an Andy King. Would you do it?
I would definitely do it.
There you go. Finally a real man.
He's got the butt. What's the butt?
You want the butt too?
No.
What? What? What do you say, Charles?
I might die, but my kids, they're going to run and live.
Oh, you said you're gonna bite it?
Yes.
Oh, you kinky.
No, I get it.
I mean, I'm gonna bite it off to the point to where the is just hanging. I'm gonna cast
out. Okay.
All right, Charles.
All right, Charles.
If you was a garbage field kid, your name would be Castration Charles.
Okay, thank you, Charles.
Charles Castration.
800-585-1051. We're asking, what would you pull an Andy King for? Call us now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. It's Friday, so you know what that means.
It's freaky Friday.
And we're asking, what would you do a Andy King for?
Remind them who Andy King is in case they don't know.
Let's play the audio. He's from the Fyre Festival documentary, and this is what he said about the festival and what he almost had to do.
Billy called and said, Andy, we need you to take one big thing for the team. You're our wonderful gay leader. And we need you to go down. Will you suck to fix this water problem? And I literally drove home, took a shower. I drank some mouthwash. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm really, and I got into my car to drive across the island to take one for the team.
See now for myself, if it's for my kids, my wife, my mom, my pops, I would have to.
Listen, man.
You have to.
Yeah, I would think so, too. And some of y'all lying. I know that we have these definitions of masculinity in our community, and sucking D is not considered a masculine thing to do. But the first law of nature is self-preservation and survival. You know what I'm saying? You're going to want your people to survive.
Right.
And if sucking D is what causes your people to survive, you'll do it.
All right, Ray.
Good morning, DJ Envy. What's up, Sharla Yee?
What's up, hey. Ray?
What's up, Ray?
Now, I personally wouldn't, but for Jesus and Miro, I would do Fellatio to Envy so he stops his pettiness, let him back on the show. They got a new TV show coming out February 21st. I'm waiting for Envy to invite them up there. What's with the beef?
Drop on the clues bombs for my guys, Jesus and Miro. They show does start on Showtime. Envy, you're not going to. No, first of all, you're going to answer this question.
No.
So would you let somebody. Yes, that man offering to suck your D. He offering to suck your D to make peace with Jesus and Mero. You ain't gonna let that man give you no.
Why don't he suck their D?
He wanna suck yours! You the cute one, I guess.
No!
To make peace with two black men, you're not gonna let the man suck you.
They're Puerto Rican, they're Spanish.
This not Jesus.
And so are you!
Two Latinos.
Oh my gosh.
I don't want it!
The moral of the story is there's still hope for Jesus and Mero to make peace with Envy. That's still hope.
Keith.
Yo.
What's up, Keith?
Yo, what's going on? Definitely gay for pay. That is a fact.
You gay for pay, Keith?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. When did that start?
When you guys asked this question and I had to sit there and think about it, I was just like, damn, well, I am that comfortable with my sexuality. And I had to think about it. I was like, I wouldn't do it for free. I would definitely do it for, like, an exchange of currency or something like that.
Well, we're not asking for money. We're asking about life or death situations.
It definitely like, sounds like
Well, life or death situations, I don't know. It depends. There's got to be money involved. I don't think Keith, you know, if Keith, I don't have kids, so I can't really relate Keith, too much. But
Keith,
gay for pay is definitely an option.
Keith, it sounds like you did it before.
How much? What's the price?
No, it depends. I don't know.
What's the price, Keith?
100?
No, I really don't know. I really couldn't give you a price. It's definitely more than like $10,000. $10,000, I'm sucking $10,000.
$10,000?
That's all it take for you?
All right.
Well, listen,
yeah,
I think Keith like it.
I'm not rich like y'all.
I will say that I like the fact that you're challenging your masculinity this morning. You know what I'm saying?
He likes it.
Yeah, no, I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable with my sexuality.
Yeah, he's fine.
Now,
he doesn't care.
You offer me the right amount of money, I might do it. I'm just saying.
There you go.
Keith, you ever kissed a man before?
No, but I would for some money.
All right, Keith, man.
Keith willing to do anything for some money. For the love of money.
Sarah!
People will suck there, bro.
Hey, good morning.
Now, we asking about men, Sarah, so you must be talking about your boyfriend or your husband.
I'm talking about my boyfriend.
What'd he say?
So, we don't have a lot of money right now. We've been hungry for a few days. So, we're listening to the station, and I'm like, babe, what would you suck for? And he said, girl, I suck for some Chinese food.
Y'all that hungry?
We that hungry.
Well, let me ask you a question. Are you willing to do the same? Would you go out there and sell
Hell
some poom
no.
poom?
I'm not sucking no for Chinese food, no.
Chinese not for Chinese food, but I'm talking about for some lights, maybe, a house to stay, to pay your bills.
No, as long as the sun outside, I'm not sucking no for no lights.
Is your boyfriend with you now?
Yeah.
Can we talk to him, please?
What's up, Charlamagne?
What's up, brother? Why you don't want to learn a trade?
That is a trade.
I'm so hungry right now. I would suck for anything, bro.
What you mean? Why y'all so hungry? What happened? What happened in y'all life?
I don't have a job right now, so Chinese food would be okay for me right now.
Damn. Bro, you got Cash App?
Yeah, you gonna cash me money?
Yeah, I'm gonna cash you some
Wait,
money.
Propositioning him?
I am, man. What's your Cash App, man? You hurt my feelings this morning. Tell me. No, I want him to tell his Cash App because maybe other people will donate too. What's his Cash App?
What's your Cash App, man?
Oh, okay, all right. I'm gonna text. What should I do? Should I text it?
No. Tell me the name. What's the Cash App? Yeah, I ain't begging you to give you no money.
See, my Cash App doesn't get any better.
Doesn't
spell it.
How you spell it?
DOESNT.
DOESNT.
Get
GET.
ANY. Butter. BETTER.
That's long.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pay for your Chinese tonight, man. So he ain't got an S no D for no Chinese tonight.
I'm putting $69. Matter of fact, I'm putting $68 in your Cash App and tell him he owes me one.
Okay. Well, let us know how it goes with you guys.
All right.
Where y'all from?
We from New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Oh, New Brunswick.
Oh, that's
New
not far at all.
That's not far. Chinese food is cheap out there, so we got you.
All right.
Don't you better not.
I'm Cash Apping right now. Please don't let your husband go out there and have to suck no D.
Give you some $20 here. Add an extra. Get at the Charlamagne. All right. Sorry. All right, mama.
All right. Bye-bye.
Wow.
That hurt my feelings this morning.
Me too.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Or maybe he's into it. You never know. We should ask if maybe he's bi. So maybe it's like a double entendre. Is that right? Did I say that right?
A double entendre? What does that have to do with
it? I don't know. Well, what's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is I know that you all have these definitions of masculinity in our community, but when it comes to survival, what are you willing to do to survive?
That man was willing to do it for some Chinese food.
That's what
food
I'm saying, him. Man. Like,
He didn't say nothing about his mom, his kids, his wife.
Chinese food is delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
now. How does it taste after you suck some. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what that aftertaste tastes like. Okay.
Well, on Twitter, at JLoveFotos said to tell you, Charlamagne, he has 2 dozen donuts. What's up?
First of all, I don't like Krispy Kreme that much.
My goodness. All right.
Doesn't get any better.
All right. Well, we got rumors on the way.
Yeah, I guess we do. We are going to talk about Meek Mill, find out what he's been doing with Drake. You know, he's got a new video. I don't know if you guys had a chance
terrible
to see it.
Terrible segue after what we just finished talking about. All right. Terrible segue.
See where your mind is.
All right. Well, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Meek Millie.
It's time
spilling the tea.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Yes, Meek Mill and Drake, they did their Going Bad music video together. Did you guys get a chance to see it?
I seen it.
I haven't seen it yet.
I like it.
Now, it's their first collaboration since they did the Wins and Losses album, the Rico song off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of guest appearances in the video, too. T.I., DJ Mustard, Nipsey Hussle, Swizz Beatz, and even more than that. So mm-hmm. make sure you guys check that out. All right, Wiz Khalifa has a new song out, and it's only available as an Oreo cookie. In order to hear the tracks, you have to get the Oreo Wiz Khalifa limited edition music box, and it plays the music off the grooves of an Oreo like a record. Here's a little snippet for you. It's called Stay Playful.
They say we're too grown for fun. We say playful's never done. Don't fight the feeling, just let it flow. Stack it up, rack it up, let it go. I got a secret the world should know. Let's stay playful Oreo.
All right, if you want to get that Oreo cookie box, I guess, is that what it's called? You can get that on February 10th on their website. And Ronda Rousey is helping people with suicide prevention centers. You know, suicide prevention is a huge issue for her. Both her father and grandfather took their own lives, so she wants to help other people as well. She held an event on Thursday where the new Dede Hurst Suicide Prevention Center will open on February 22nd, and here's what she said.
I lost both my father and my grandfather to suicide. It's something that runs in my family like cancer runs in others. The suicide is very unique for the stigma that surrounds it. It takes just as much strength, if not more, to reach out than to tough it out. That's why I'm so happy to be here to support the opening of Dede Hurst Suicide Prevention Center.
Now, 21 Savage has more information coming out about his being detained. According to a police report, they're saying that it was the ATF that actually arrested him. They said ICE has confirmed that he was targeted for immigration enforcement and nothing more, he was never arrested by the police, and some other individual's firearm and vehicle is not our concern here. So I don't know what's going on with the 21 Savage situation. It seems like they were targeting him for different reasons. He feels like it's because of a song. The song A Lot, where he talks about immigration. But according to these reports now, they're saying that he was driving recklessly. He was about to slam into a fully marked cop car, and that's why he was pulled over on that day. They found a fully loaded Glock in the car, according to these police reports.
Yeah, I told y'all, man, that ICE was, they were just using the ICE thing to try to get a criminal charge on 21. So it's no surprise to me that all of a sudden he had a Glock on him.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm very confused as to what's going on right now because there's all these different reports that are coming out now. All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and it's Friday, and that's your Rumor Report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Shout to Revolt. We'll see you guys later. Everybody else, the People's Choice Mix is up next. It's a Friday, so you know we throw it back. So what I wanted to do is, this mix is all about Big Pun. Of course, yesterday was anniversary of his passing, so we're going to do a Big Pun mix. And also, earlier this week, it was Cameron's birthday. Monday was Cameron's birthday.
So beautiful.
A little Cam.
And the fact that we did Sucker the Knot this morning.
So let me know your favorite pun joint, your favorite Cam joint, and we'll get it on. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
This young legend.
DJ Diamond Cuts.
What up,
Diamond Cuts, what's happening?
I'm just happy to be here. That's all I'm going to say.
This is your first time being on The Breakfast Club.
I'm actually nervous. Come on the other side.
No, you're not. You're professional.
Shake it off real quick. I'm good.
Diamond Cuts is Philly to the core. When you think Philadelphia, you got to think DJ Diamond Cuts.
All day. Now, early.
Tell them what you do for those who don't know.
Produce, DJ. I think everything a DJ could possibly do. You know, touring, discovering artists.
Give us some concrete examples for the people who don't know.
Okay. Production. One of my first big records that I produced was Super Ho, Nicki Minaj. Touring. Tour with Nicki, of course. Tour with Lil Mama. TV, BET.
You did Rap City.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, the deal. It was like the one after
Rap City.
Right, yeah. And then, you know, I discovered Lil Uzi. So, yeah, you know.
You discovered Lil Uzi? Now, that I didn't know.
You didn't know that?
Yeah. How did that happen? Because I always wondered about Lil Uzi because he don't look or sound like nothing coming out of Philadelphia.
Well, why didn't you sign him to yourself?
Y'all want to talk?
Yes. Okay. We want to hear what happened.
All right, so with Uzi, you know, he used to come to the studio with his friend. His friend was the rapper. Uzi used to just, you know, hang with him or whatever. He had a couple songs, nothing too big or whatever. My husband called me, Buzz, and he said, yo, it's his kid, Samir. I really like him. I think we should work with him. And I said, let me check him out. I looked him up, met him, loved him. We started creating songs. We created, like, What Do You Want? And we created the song Uzi, you know, all of his earlier mm-hmm. hits. I played it on the radio. Cannon hit me. Cannon was like, yo, Diamond, who's that kid you played on your set? I said, his name is Uzi. It's an artist that we working with. He was signed to our management at the time. And Cannon said, I want to come down and meet him. Then at the same time, Cannon was interested. Kanye was interested. You know, Cannon didn't want to lose him to Ye. You know what I mean? So he said, Uzi, come down to Atlanta. Let me show y'all how we work. If you like how we work, you know what I mean? You can sign with us and take it from there. We was all excited. Because, mm-hmm. you know, we be in the, you know how it is. And especially when you're in the studio all of the time and you just working and you got all of these artists. We like, hey, we finally made it. Like,
and at the time, you were his manager.
Yeah, well, yeah, me and your my husband, Buzz. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know, we was all excited. Uzi was excited. We was excited. He went to Atlanta. Started, you know, little by little, he wasn't talking to us anymore. I had called Cannon. I'm like, yo, Cannon, what's up? What's going on? He was like, I don't know. He don't want us to tell y'all what's going on with him. And that's pretty much how it happened. We heard on the street that he got signed to Atlantic. And
wow.
Yeah.
But wasn't he signed to your management company? Or?
Yeah.
So what's his deal? Isn't he signed to Cannon and Drama, though, also?
He signed to them. They have a production deal, mm-hmm. I believe, with Atlantic. Yeah. We had management. It got a little tricky, you know what I mean? We didn't get burnt, but it was a fight.
Did y'all at least get paid?
Yeah, we was taken care of.
He paid you out to pay you to get out the management deal, basically.
Yeah, that and, you know, a couple other things, but
the label took care of it to make sure everything was right.
Right.
What's your relationship with Uzi now?
I haven't spoken to him in years.
That's
I mean,
crazy.
I had chances too, because of course he's done things with our station, you know, and I came up here to the Powerhouse up here in New York, but I don't know, you know, you know when you see somebody again,
right.
you wanted to be right, you know, that kind of hurt me because he was like my little brother. We used to play all the time in the studio, like, you know, this was, we all wanted to be happy, we all wanted to celebrate, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's how that situation ended, mm-hmm. but.
Whose fault was it? Was it the label for getting in his ear? Was it Cannon and Drama's fault getting in his ear? Like, whose fault was it? Somebody got in his ear and said, cut Diamond cuts them off.
Yeah, somebody probably did get in his ear. Or maybe he just was like, you know what? They did what they did. Let me keep it moving.
I'm out here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I was in a dark space for a long time. And I think I hit you up one night. I was reading your book, Shook One. Mm-hmm. And when you do all of that work and you get that close and then you get like
no
somebody turns their back mm-hmm. on you, it puts you in a dark space.
Right.
And I was dealing with like anxiety and depression for a long time. And I just kind of got out of it maybe like a couple of years ago or last year actually. So yeah, it hurt. It was like, damn, like that's my little brother.
We thought we was all coming up together in
yeah,
this.
Yeah,
like,
we want to celebrate too.
Yeah. And the EP's out now?
Out now.
It's out now. Okay.
Yeah.
I heard it.
Yeah.
It's four songs, right?
Oh,
yep.
All streaming platforms, Apple Music, Tidal, all
it's
that.
It's the type of EP you're going to be in your car just dancing. And
yeah, if you need a little pick-me-up, and that's why I called it Clouded, because it was that time where the music kind of saved me mentally, because I used to have so much mental fogginess, I guess was what I'm trying to say, because, you know, you worry about dying all the time, or you worrying about, you know, all of the pressure that you got going on at work and home. And
it's called anxiety, Diamond.
Anxiety, I know. Yo, Charlamagne, your book really helped me. Like, I keep it in my, I got like I call it my sitting room, mm-hmm. but I got it in there, and sometimes I open it up and I just read a couple pages, and it helps me because I used to feel like I was the only one. Mm-hmm. I used to be in the emergency room all the time. Like, I just knew my heart was going to just stop.
Me too.
You know what I'm saying? So, but that's why I called it Clouded, because it was kind of like, you know,
pick it.
Let loose, party, mm-hmm. have a good time.
You remind me of when I first moved to Jersey from Brooklyn, and I was hearing the club music.
Yeah.
And I had never heard club music before, but it was so much fun. And every cookout, every party in Jersey was like,
right, yep.
EP.
Yep.
Cuts, who got better DJs, New York or Philly?
I'm going to say this, and then I probably got to run out of this room. Philly, hands down.
Not even close, right?
Come on, man. Listen.
I respect her opinion. I don't think it's right, but I respect her opinion.
Listen, I'm not gonna go back and forth with DJs because New York heavy out here. But
we don't want Emmy to ban you from coming up here. So.
Yeah, I'm gonna shut up. Shots!
Diamond Cuts is always invited. Yeah, I don't know what you guys are
Diamond
talking
Cuts
about.
Diamond Cuts family.
I love Diamond Cuts. She's family. What are you talking about?
Shots!
Goodness gracious.
Damn. Yeah.
All right, but I ain't gonna play that on her music though. But anyway, it's Diamond Cuts, DJ Diamond Cuts. Woo! It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Charlamagne, it's Friday, so you got a positive note for the people?
Yes,
before
man.
Before we do, let's shout out Aldis Hodge for joining us and DJ Diamond Cuts. Shout out to them for stopping through.
Salute to Aldis Hodge. He's gonna be a star. Diamond Cuts is already a star. Mm-hmm.
And I wanna shout out somebody too. Shout out to William. Today is his birthday. My friend Laura Mora, that's her son. You guys know Laura. So William's birthday is today. I knew him since he was a little baby boy, and now he's all grown up getting ready for college.
Nice. Now, don't forget tonight, I'm going to be at Sugar Daddy's. Shout out to Nice. Happy
okay.
birthday. And then Saturday, I'll be at 760 Rooftop. Now, yeah, you coming back tonight for the game?
Yes, I'll be back in Brooklyn. It's Black History Month, so they're going to have all kinds of special surprises happening tonight at the Brooklyn Nets game. We're playing the Bulls, so make sure y'all come out and support our team.
All right. Well, leave us on a positive note.
The positive note is simply this, man. Learn to ask questions. It is always better to ask questions than to make assumptions. Have the courage to ask questions until you are as clear as you can be. Once you hear the answer to a question, you won't have to make assumptions because you will know the truth.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.